When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I really dig earthworms, but I haven't met one yet that doesn't have a dirty mouth. How is a private eye, like the dry cleaners? They both do other people's dirty work. Why was the egg sent to the principal's office? It cracked too many yolks.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent to Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease. So I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
From the world famous Cardiff Electric Network Studios. It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I would redo that, but Tacey would kill me. It's 1,000 degrees in here. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott. Traditional Chinese medical provider gives me street cred with wacko alternative medicine assholes. Hello, Dr. Scott.
I'm on fire.
And we got Tacey. Hello, my partner, Tacey. Hello, Tacey.
Shoo, it's hot in here.
Ugh, and we've got P.A. Lydia back from sabbatical. Hello, P.A. Lydia.
Hello.
This is a show for people. Thank you. This is a show for people who never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you got a question you're embarrassed to take to regular medical provider, can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347.
Who is?
Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at DrScottWM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we're not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking over with your healthcare provider. Very good. Please don't forget stuff.drsteve.com. It really makes a difference. Stuff.drsteve.com.
It could actually maybe pay for an air conditioner in here.
Shit, I researched that. They want $5,000 to put a silent air conditioner in here. Well, when you go away for the weekend, instead of going out and doing something fun, I will install a fucking ceiling fan in here, but I got to find a silent one like they got at Liam's apartment. That thing is awesome.
It is silent.
And it is silent.
And
so I will take care
of
that. I'll take care of that.
Together we'll be in heaven.
So I will do that. So when are you going out of town?
December.
Help. Just go this weekend. That'll be my birthday present. You out of town.
You'll be out of
Just kidding. I'm just kidding, honey. You can stay. Go to stuff.drsteve.com.
Thanks.
Scroll down and go through. Okay. Go to Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. There you go. Check out our Patreon or don't. It's patreon.com/weirdmedicine.
It'll be hot that day, too.
Yep. And, we got to do one this weekend, by the way. So
okay.
Let's just get up here early and it's not hot.
Okay,
and I'll
fun.
Work on it. Okay. Yeah, this is so much fun. All right, very good. Well, welcome back, P.A. Lydia.
Thank you, guys.
And have a game to play. And should we, well, let's, We'll get to it. We have a fun game that we played last time. It was grossest medical story. We're going to continue that, but we have a little bit of a twist going forward.
I like twists.
I know. Let me see. Where is that?
But I don't want homework every week. I just want that to be known.
I know you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And
Too busy.
So that retirement really.
I mean, what working do you expect for, you, huh? for me to do?
So we will do it like every third show or something like that or whatever. We'll just do it whenever the hell we want to do
it.
How about that?
Okay.
It's like, I wish I had the Napoleon Dynamite drop. What you gonna do today, Napoleon? Whatever I want. Gosh.
There it is.
Uncle Rico. I think I could throw that football over that there mountain. All right. So, P.A. Lydia. Before the show, we were talking about you were considering having some cosmetic surgery done. Is that okay to talk
about?
That's
the way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boob
yeah.
job.
Yeah, she wants to get a boob job. So
potentially.
I think that's always one of those. And but you brought it up that maybe we should do a show about different breast implants and discuss the pros, cons, and all that kind of stuff. Maybe what we could do is make this a long, because you're just thinking about it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Maybe we could make this sort of a long bit and have people on the show that have had breast implants, different kinds of breast augmentation. We could even get some of the... you want to get them in the studio and actually feel them. Okay.
It might require a consent form.
Of course.
But that's what you have to do. You know, there's just so many different kinds. There are the different implants of silicone or saline, and then there's the fat transfer, and then there's the subpectoral.
What fat would you transfer, though?
You're very thin. Probably, the inner thigh.
Okay. Well, because there are different body types. They're ectomorphs or tall and thin. That's kind of what you are. And then mesomorphs are in between. Then the endomorphs are sort of the pear-shaped, those people. Obeso Americans.
I could gain weight for that role.
Yeah, yeah. You could. And we could get people in here, but I was thinking also, Lainey Spicer is a contact. She's a friend of Scott's and mine, mm-hmm. and she's been trying to get some of her clients on here because she's a publicist. And many of those have had breast augmentation, some of them to the extreme, and they may be willing to give some advice. And then we could kill two birds with one stone because Lainey really has been bugging me to get some of her clients on here recently.
That sounds wonderful.
So that may be kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then you do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, do it or don't, but it'll, yeah.
At least I could just end the discussion in my head.
That's right. Yeah. Right. And Tacy went the other way.
Went the other way.
Mm-hmm. She had, you wouldn't know it, but...
Stop it.
Is that bad?
It is bad.
Well, you complain about it.
Yeah. Well...
You've complained about it on this show that you had breast, reduction mammoplasty, and you're still the big booby girl.
That's how it goes, though.
Yeah.
I mean, most people who have had a breast reduction... And when I had mine, this really irritated me. People would say, well, why did you get the augmentation in the first place?
Right.
And I'm like, why would I have done that to myself to start with?
Because people do that.
But it was obscene, and my back was killing. I mean, it was Fs. I mean, come on.
If by obscene you mean awesome,
no,
I agree.
It was terrible. It was absolutely terrible.
So did you have implants?
No.
Okay.
No, I did
you
not.
You were naturally a triple F.
But they just thought, people just thought I had done that to myself.
Right.
Okay.
I had gotten triple F.
On the porn site, she would have been listed under busty naturals.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Right.
And people aren't afraid to ask you, well, why did you do that anyway? And it's I didn't do that. So that irritates me.
Yeah, people aren't afraid.
Mm-mm.
To say anything as long as it's, disparaging someone's body type.
Boy, they really don't.
There's so many things that they're terrified to say, but that one is fine. Won't you just quit eating?
Yeah.
Try
exercising.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, they're totally fine. And has anybody ever said that to you? Maybe you should try exercising. This woman works out more than anybody I've ever seen. She is the strongest woman I've ever had the opportunity to mess with. Maybe Ronda Rousey could beat her ass.
But that's nothing on Tacey.
That's what it would take to beat Tacey's ass.
We wrestled
back when, you know, a while back when we used to, you know, play around more than we do now. I mean, just play around. I'm not talking about, it's not a euphemism for intercourse. I'm just talking about playing around. Mm-hmm. And we started wrestling and she kicked my ass. And I was a wrestler in high school. And absolutely kicked my ass to the point I think I tapped out and then she wouldn't stop. And I was like, you've got to stop. Just turned me into a little bitch. What? I was her bitch. It was unbelievable. She's unbelievably strong. And she'll take, you know, 250. Of course, she always overpacks. So her luggage is always right at the edge of being legal or, you know, and she'll just pick them up and just whoop and just right up the stairs. Doesn't even think about it. Amazing.
She's tough.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. She's a horse.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that.
That's also disparaging.
Well, that's because you're an idiot.
That's good to know. I'm a horse. Okay.
That was Scott. That was not me.
Yes, you can kick me later.
Anyway, but Tacey's very physically strong.
Yes. And mentally strong. Mm.
Not so much. Mentally. When you quit working, it's amazing how dumb you get, how quick.
I'm afraid of.
Or you realize maybe something. I don't know. I'm just.
Maybe you were dumb the whole time. Maybe the job you had didn't require a lot.
You just didn't know it.
No,
hell no.
That's quite possible.
You were pre-med. You're not dumb. Nobody can be dumb and do all that. But anyway. All right. So, so we'll do that. So I'll work on getting some people in here.
Okay.
And then when can you come back? You know, the other three have just finked out on us, so you're welcome to come back every week if you want to for a while. Or forever.
Can't imagine why they wouldn't want to spend time in this sauna we have here.
I like it.
With such great company.
I mean, I know.
You just let me know when you can come and I'll have some people lined up.
I can't next week, but otherwise I'm only on a Monday-Friday work schedule, so that should be okay.
All right, we'll do it.
So maybe 2 weeks from now.
Okay. Yeah, I think we actually know somebody that had breast augmentation that you could talk to that's been on the show before. Mm-hmm. So we could talk to her first and then because that's a less extreme example if she'll do it. And I'm not saying any names or...
Oh, gosh. I mean, how many people do we not know that have had it?
Oh, that's true. That's true. And then our other friend. Yeah, so we can work this out. We can get people in the studio and then I really want to get some Elaney's people on here because some of those have gone from, you know, A cups to, you know, double, triple G cups and stuff.
Holy moly.
And then some of them have had problems with them. I talked to somebody that had theirs removed because they kept moving up to their neck.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Because they did them up. Well, so what that person would tell you is don't let them put it above the muscle. Heck. It's got to go below. Mm. Because hers were above the muscle, they could just move around. They were just moving around all the time.
Yep.
So anyway. All right.
I know somebody who went to a physician and she's been having a lot of health issues. And the physician was like, have you ever thought maybe your breast implants are leaking?
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's a really interesting case.
She doesn't feel like they are, but it's... something you hear about every now and then.
Or some systemic inflammatory response to a foreign body. I'm also worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So there is an immune adjuvant response to silicone silicone. And yeah, it'd be funny if they put silicone in there, and then you could just like have a CPU, and you could compute things with your boobs.
Do my charting.
Yeah, you can do your charting.
Please talk into my boob.
Let me see. I think it's is it Asia syndrome? Yeah, it is. It's autoimmune and autoinflammatory syndrome induced by adjuvants. And it's a spectrum of immune-mediated disease triggered by chronic exposure to adjuvants, which are substances meant to enhance antigen-specific immune response. And silicone implants can be associated with that, and it can cause rheumatoid-type syndromes. Mm-hmm. And one of those that we've seen pretty frequently is this sort of non-specific autoimmune disorder. And but it is unusual. It's so unusually and rarely seen that some providers still don't believe it exists.
Oh, okay.
Or that it's a problem.
I wonder if there are any like analyses of like baseline room factors or ANA levels or anything.
Well, I think there are, and we can go over all that stuff before you do anything. But I do know that for a while they stopped doing the silicone and were going with saline, and now they're going back to it because the silicone implants really are better. They're more natural. And not to say that the saline ones can't be great, but they can. But I think it takes less skill to get a silicone implant to do what you want it to. And the risk is really quite low. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that with those, if you get that with the silicone, it's supposed to get better as long as you just remove the implant. So you don't want to go through that if you can avoid it. That's extremely rare. I've seen one in my career that I diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's 37, whatever. I don't even know how many years it is. I've lost track.
What?
And am I going to be 67 this year or am I 68 this year?
So I'm 49, so you're going to be 67.
This whole year I thought I was 67 already. I did it again. This is the second time that I've gotten a free year.
Hmm. You fast forward.
Because I'm stupid. No, I've been telling everybody I was 67.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, fuck, when this next birthday, which is coming up, I'm going to be 68, but actually I'm going to be 67. So I got a free year out of it.
I love it. That's awesome.
Well, that's because you're an idiot.
Yes, that's true. Okay. All righty. So I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, that's a great series.
Okay.
Yeah,
a great series.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's do the game.
Okay.
Last week, we had the grossest medical story. Lady Diagnosis brought your magic mushroom blood culture thing, which is a good one to do a second time. Mm-hmm. Tacy brought the bed bug jar fountain. And Dr. Scott brought the 82-foot tapeworm.
Yeah.
And so everybody voted.
I won, I bet.
And with 53% of the vote, Dr. Scott won.
Nice. Good for you, Dr. Scott. That is pretty gross.
Thank you.
Tacy had about 35% of the vote, and Lady Diagnosis got the rest. So well done. Well done, sir. That one was disgusting.
Thank you.
And let's see if there were any comments on this one. This person said, although in real life I'd rather have 10 cases of bed bugs rather than one giant tapeworm or a fungal blood nightmare, I have to cast my vote to Tacy for being so descriptive. Out of the three, hers grossed me out the most. It was gross the way
it really
you described
was gross. I mean, in the story that I read, the guy was picking them off of him, putting them in a mason jar, and then they were crawling out as fast as he could pick them off. And
there
the
were
mason
so many
jar
in
was
there.
Three-fourths full. That was so disgusting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So gross.
Let's see here. So we're going to do another one today.
Okay.
All right. And what we're going to do is I came up with this. See, we ripped this off from the Creep Off, which does, you know, creepiest human beings. And if you like true crime and you like comedy, check out the Creep Off podcast. It's a good one. And then if they lose five times, they spin the wheel of consequences and they have to do horrible things. So, like, one of the hosts had to do the polar plunge in the middle of winter in Rochester, New York.
Oh, my goodness.
And which there's no actual video documentation that he did it. There's video, there's documentation of him going toward the lake and coming out. But I believe him because he had a horrible look on his face. But, you know, people. So it was fun. That kind of extended the bit because people were shitting on him. And then the other guy had to wear a cow bikini on the show, you know, on camera. Mm-hmm. Things like that. I don't want to do that.
No.
First off, I'm not playing this fucking game. And second off, I couldn't get Tacy or Scott.
I'd wear a cow bikini today. It's so hot.
That would yeah. that
but
would
see,
do.
Then that's a good thing. Yes. It's no good if you yeah. want to do it.
I'd fight it.
So
so
what we're going to do instead, because we're more of a positive type of show, we're going to, you guys are going to be playing for people.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So Dr. Scott will be playing for someone, Tacy will be playing for someone, and PA Lydia will be playing for someone. And next week, when the announcement is made of the winner, then that person, whoever was attached to the one that brought the story that wins, mm-hmm. will send them something. And it could be, it's a gift, it's not a prize. So we'll, 1 week it might be an autographed picture, which why would anybody want that of us? Mm-hmm. Or we have some vacuum bottles that are weird medicine bottles, and maybe we'll sign it or something. We'll do something like that. So for the first one, we'll probably do something like that. So Scott, you want to say who everyone is playing for today?
Yes, I would love to. So the winner will be Sean today because he's playing with me, Sean okay. Pedrick.
Sean Pedrick is playing with you. Yes. Oh, and by the way, these were chosen from our chat room, mm-hmm. which is, we don't do a video show on purpose. We're doing it just to have an audience. No matter how small it is, we don't care if it's five people. We're fine with that because we get our views from, our income comes from our audio shows that we, you know, on Patreon and on just our podcast. So we don't do the video to be a video show. So we don't care if nobody signs up or subscribes, although if you subscribe, you can be notified that we're going live. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we got this out of the chat room. We usually record on Wednesday or Thursday, and you just got to watch our Twitter feed or subscribe and click the notification button. Okay, so Scott is playing for Sean Pedrick.
Yes.
Tacy?
Carla Finch.
Carla Finch.
Carla
excellent.
Finch.
And then PA Lydia?
Richie Archer.
Richie Archer. Okay, very good.
Okay, Richie.
In other words, playing for second, third place.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. So you're that. Well, let me see. Scott won, so he has to go last.
No,
I'm sorry. He has to go first. If you win, you go first.
Because hey, how come Tacy, like Tacy, somehow Tacy's managed to swing the.
That's right.
I don't blame him.
So, Dr. Scott.
Let's hear it.
You're going first.
All right. So, wasn't the topic below the belt?
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
So we're going below the belt today.
The topic is grossest medical story below the belt, which, by the way, is probably going to be the topic every single time.
It's not an easy topic, though, because you look stuff up, and if you look up penises, it's, oh, and my penis got cut, or it got broken, or, you know, it's just,
Yeah.
Not very fun.
No, it wasn't as fun as the last one.
There are other things other than penises below the belt.
But yes.
Exactly.
Well, toes. You look up.
Toes, that's right.
Knees. Vagina's the same way. I mean, it's just.
Popliteal fossas.
Popliteal fossas.
Mm-hmm. All kinds
is
of
it
a, stuff.
Is it below the belt and above the.
Well, that's what I thought.
I think it was pretty. Yeah. Open
I think I said anything in front that regarding the junkle region.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, if you have a really high belt, I guess you could do like navel stuff.
But yeah, okay. You do whatever you want.
All right, here we go. Here's mine.
All right.
So I'm going with the largest scrotum ever recorded. He had 132-pound scrotum, diagnosed with elephantiasis of his scrotum.
Oh my God!
What'd they do with it?
Well, it's
132
pounds. Yep, it's a form of scrotal lymphedema, and they actually had to go in and surgically remove it. So, it looks pretty uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yes.
Did they give any size comparisons?
So, are you going to tell the story, or I mean, that's just your overview, right? You're going to read the story.
That is the story. This guy started developing this scrotal lymphedema, and it got worse and worse and grew really quickly, and they wound up they've actually got some images of him, poor thing. It's incredible.
Okay.
If you can imagine,
is it shiny?
You gotta sell it to the people who are voting for
it. I don't have to sell this. It's 132-pound scrotum, for God's sake.
Okay, fair.
Poor guy.
Fair.
God bless
you. Was this the guy that was on Howard Stern?
I don't know. I don't know. But
there was a guy that had, so what this is massive scrotal edema is what it's called. And the testicles are actually, they may be non-existent in there. It's not enlargement of the testicles. No. And it's not fluid in the scrotum. It's actually interstitial fluid. In other words, fluid in the tissues of the scrotum and surrounding the testicles and stuff, and it's more solid than anything else. How much did his nuts weigh?
Yeah, 132 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Almost, yeah. And of course, they had to go in and surgically remove it, but I mean,
you would think that if you had 130-pound something hanging around between your legs, it would just rip off. It would just rip off, and you would be walking down the street, and it would just, you'd leave it behind.
I bet he couldn't walk.
Like a sling?
Well, you got to have it's a sling like a cup we used to wear in baseball, but quite a bit larger. I've actually heard of guys with similar conditions having to carry their testicles around in wheelbarrows.
Especially in
third world countries, if they get, because you could technically.
In first world countries, there's no other way to do it.
Yeah, obviously.
If you can't afford insurance, that one guy on Howard Stern, he didn't have insurance, and I would have thought some urologists just do it for
free. Yeah, or for the kindness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and the other thing, Dr. Steve, to consider is just fear of doctors. A lot of people have these problems, and we see them, all of us in here see them every single day. People they fear going to the doctor. They fear having a diagnosis. They fear a procedure. And I'm not saying it's what was wrong with this guy, but that happens all the time. You know, if somebody come in with a growth, how long has it been there? A couple of years. Like,
if I was participating in this, I would, and we did grossest genital trauma, accidental. I've told this story on here before where this guy he worked in a place where they had a bunch of belts, like leather or rubber belts that went all over the place. It could have been a textile place or something.
Some kind of manufacturing.
Some manufacturing thing when they had these belts. And what he would do is he would rub his dick on the belt as it was going by, and the vibration, he would, you know, eventually complete the transaction. And he apparently he had a very isolated place where he could do this, right? Well, one day his scrotum gets caught between the lower part of the belt and the wheel. And it just went like that, and it just took his nuts and just threw him out the window. They flew out the window.
And
he was so embarrassed, he didn't want to go, well, shit, you know, hey, I was masturbating on this belt and go to employee health. So he took a staple gun and stapled his scrotum back together. And then about a week later, he showed up at the emergency room in sepsis. What we call sepsis is, you know, blood infection by bacteria, and this giant abscess in his groin where his scrotum used to be. And that's when he told the story of what actually happened. So, and, but don't, if you do something like that, it's, if you go to the emergency room, and you, and we've said this before too, and you've got a Coke bottle shoved up your ass, just say you sat on it. Everybody will be fine
Nobody
with that.
Ask a question.
They won't ask another question because that's the fiction that we've all agreed on, that we can say, oh God, I sat on this Coke bottle and I don't know what happened, but now I can't get it out. Oh, did you?
Let us help you with that.
Yeah, let us fix it. And they will fix it. So if you, you know, if you, if your testicle gets thrown out a window by a belt, and you don't want to say that you were masturbating at work and your scrotum got ripped open and your testicle flew out a window, you can just say
you sat on it. Sat on the belt.
That you sat on it. There you go. Here we go.
Give yourself a belt.
Or you could. What fiction could you come up with on that?
Oh, that'd be hard to.
That'd be a tough one. Well, I just fell, and I fell against a knife or something. You just make up something on the way to the emergency room, but don't try to fix it yourself and then think it's going to go away. Well, if you do that one, the cops are showing up.
They are going to show up.
You know, that's the problem. So you can't, then the whole story is going to fall apart, and then you have to tell the truth.
Oh, bless you. And it, Lord have mercy.
Out so, the window.
Yep, out the, it flew
I wonder
out
if
the
he
window.
Picked him up.
I don't think so. I don't think so. He stapled his shit together and said, I got to go home.
I got to go. I'm having some pain below the belt.
So that's Dr. Scott, scrotal lymphedema. Tacy, what you got?
Okay, I'm going to try to class this up, but it's really difficult. Okay. So the title is called The Pussy Pimple.
Okay.
And it's stolen from BuzzFeed.
Okay, no, that's fine. You steal anywhere you want to.
And, okay, here's the story. She got a horrible pimple on the hood of her clitoris.
Excellent.
She tried to pop it one night, but it was just too painful. The pimple kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it was the size of a marble. It was so swollen, and the skin was so sensitive.
Would this, be an Aggie or... Well, shit, I forgot all the marble names. There's the big, giant ones and the little... Oh. God damn it. Oh,
I mean,
well.
Okay.
Boo.
Nerd.
Boo.
Okay.
Nerd.
It was so swollen and the skin was so sensitive that when she walked or sat down, it rubbed against her underwear and pants, causing pain.
Okay.
It eventually popped on its own, and the amount of pus that came out was insane.
Oh.
So,
I don't think we used to use.
I mean, like I said, it's hard to find a disgusting story, but if you imagine
on
your clitoris having a...
Marble-sized
pimple.
I've never seen a clitoral abscess before.
Yeah.
Let me look that one up.
I wouldn't have... You have to cut it.
This is vulvar abscess, but periclitoral abscess. Here we go. Image of a... No, thank you. Okay. Image of a periclitoral abscess presenting with minimal swelling and distortion. Periclitoral abscesses are rare, with less than 20 reported in the medical literature.
Hey.
21 if you count BuzzFeed as a medical journal. Images without severely distorted clitori are lacking in the literature. Oh, well. I'm sorry that you guys are missing out on that, which led to multiple misdiagnoses in this case. Okay, this is a report of a 20-year-old patient who presented with clitoral swelling and pain without fever. In the clinical setting, even when mild clitoral swelling is seen, the possible presence of an abscess should be considered with incision and drainage if present. You know why they missed this in this case?
Why?
Do you know why? Because nobody bothered to fucking do a pelvic exam.
Yeah, have a look, yeah.
They just looked, let me separate the, whatever these things are called and look in there. I mean, that's how dumb they had to be. Yeah. I'm hearing now, hey, Tacy or Lydia, either one of you, when you guys go to get your pap smear, do they do a bimanual exam anymore?
I was told
that they stopped doing that.
I get one.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's been a couple years, but yeah.
Okay, good. Because somebody told me they're not doing bimanual exams anymore. And a bimanual, by the way, is when you have two fingers in the vagina, and then you push up, and then you mm-hmm. and then you can feel ovarian tube, ovarian tubes, fallopian tubes. You can feel ovaries. You can feel the uterus, and you can press it up against your other hand, mm-hmm. so that you can feel
find
it better.
Masses and tumors. And
yes,
stuff,
yeah. And then the next thing you do, tell me this, are they doing rectovaginal exams?
No.
I have not had that.
That's bullshit, okay?
Yeah.
So, we would do, and this is the whole two in the pink, one in the stink thing is what, the colloquialism, but it is a true exam where you do another bimanual exam with your third finger in the rectum, two fingers in the vagina, and then you feel around for that. In doing one of those, I found a pericolic tumor. A perirectal tumor, sorry. Mm-hmm. And actually it was an ovary that had dropped down and had gotten so large, and the only way you could feel it was when you did the rectal exam.
Wow.
So I don't understand.
Is that the Krunkenberg sign? Krunkenberg's
tumor? I don't know.
I think it is. It's an ovarian sign where you can have the rectal cul-de-sac mass.
Oh, yeah.
Krunkenberg, I think.
How do you spell that?
Krunkenberg.
B-U-R-G. Krunkenberg tumor, malignancy in the ovary that metastasized from primary site, classically the GI tract. Now, I don't know about
that.
Oh,
no, that's not it. Somehow there's a sign where you feel palpated at the rectal wall.
Well, let's look that one up then.
Yeah.
All I know is you can do it, and if you don't do it, you can't do it.
It's at Bloomer's Shelf. Let's see.
Mm. Okay. This one's, you might be too smart for this show.
A little bit.
Wouldn't take much to.
I know.
to pass this crowd.
Dumbasses.
She could trip over this.
Okay, Bloomer Shelf denotes a metastatic tumor deposit on digital rectal or vaginal exam, indicating a tumor cell dissemination from an abdominal, gastric, pancreatic, colonic cancer, or lung. Yeah.
Give yourself a bill.
Growing in the rectovesicle or rectouterine pouch.
Yes, and how in the hell would you find that if you don't examine
exactly.
it? Exactly. Okay, so I'm going to give myself a bill for that.
Give yourself a bill.
Give Lydia a bell for knowing the name of it. Good Lord.
That's impressive.
I teach PA students, so
yeah.
I try to tell them everything.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Yeah, that's. I won't forget that one. Till tonight.
Well, I was going to say until like now.
I already forgot. What was that? You're wearing your Bloomers? What? The reason that they missed it on the case that I was reading is because no one felt in there. They just looked, and we've got to stop just looking at things and go back to physical diagnosis. You got a woman in your office that's complaining of clitoral pain, mm-hmm. and if you just look at it and go, nope, looks fine to me, that's not going to work. Mm-hmm. You got to stick your fingers in there and feel around. And if they had felt, if they had curled their fingers up as you are supposed to do, they would have felt that abscess. Mm-hmm. Oh. And they would have treated her, because apparently she went to like five different doctors before they figured it out.
Huh.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? So that's a good one. So we're going to call, Tacy, I'm going to call this one the P exclamation point dollar sign hashtag Y pimple.
Okay.
All right. All right. PA Lydia.
Okay. Well, I'm highlighting a gross condition.
That's fine.
And when I think about really disgusting things, especially in the medical field, I think of smells.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Right. So
Dee from Nashville can tell you that one. The most gross medical smell, which we'll play here in a minute, because I don't think you've ever heard that. Mm. Okay, good.
Yeah. No, so there's one condition with women where, you know, there's like this fishy odor with a KOH prep. However,
do you want to talk about that now that you brought it up? Because people may not know.
Well, I was trying to remember, isn't it bacterial vaginosis?
Yes.
And then when you add in potassium hydroxide,
it gives off a fishy odor.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's one way to diagnose
it's
bacterial
called a whiff
vaginosis.
Test.
Yeah. Which I've only done a couple of times.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit faster on the
That's why the blind dog. Man going by the fish market says, hello, ladies.
My grandfather always told that joke.
Oh. Yep.
Oops. Sorry. I'll keep getting the wrong
So there's another condition, which is a genetic condition. It's autosomal recessive, so you have to have two parents as carriers. Yeah. It's called trimethylaminuria.
Oh, I've heard of this.
And it's the fish odor syndrome.
Wow.
Where your secretions, including your vaginal secretions, but also your sweat and your breath, smell like rotting fish.
Oh.
What's the chemical that they make?
So it's an inability to break down lecithin due to a defect in the FMO1 gene. And okay. So if you eat foods higher in lecithin, then your body like doesn't break it down as well. I'll have to look. let me look up the chemical. Because
okay,
you can,
so what foods have lecithin in them?
So it says fish, eggs.
Oh, so yeah, you eat fish and you smell like fish. Okay, got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but it's specifically seafood. So freshwater fish are exempt from that issue.
Really?
Yeah. Let's see what other foods there were. I have a separate window open.
So you can eat trout, but not grouper.
Correct.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, no salmon.
Well, salmon can be freshwater too, though.
Common sources include egg yolk, soybeans, milk, rapeseed, cottonseed, and sunflower oil. So one of the ways to reduce your fishy odor when you have this syndrome is to avoid those foods. Another way is to take Flagyl. It also recommended reducing sweaty exercise. But it must be such a curse. Like anytime you sweat or speak with someone, you just smell like rotting fish.
Yeah.
You try to have like
intercourse. So it's your sweat and your breath?
Oral things. Yeah, your sweat, your breath, and all of your secretions.
So if a dude had that, then there wouldn't be any choice between spitting and swallowing. There would just be nothing but spitting.
It would be spitting
and gagging. Well, honey.
Mm-hmm. my God.
But
okay,
I swear
you win.
I was eating pineapple, darling.
Right,
congratulations.
Right. Pineapple fish.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so we'll put that one up under, PA Lydia. Fish jizz? Fish jizz. Okay.
Okay, so the reason is the body is unable to turn a strong-smelling chemical called trimethylamine, which is produced in the gut when bacteria break down certain foods high in lecithin, into a different chemical that doesn't smell.
Okay.
So, there you go.
And that's one of the issues with asparagus, too. There are some people that will metabolize that chemical in asparagus so that it doesn't smell, and some that won't. And then there are some people that can smell it and some that can't, which is why there's always been this controversy. Because when you have problems with incomplete reception and incomplete transmission, you're going to have all kinds of disagreements. Well, that ain't right. That doesn't really happen. I eat it all the time. It never happens to me. Those could be people that can't smell it, but they do produce it, but they don't ever smell it, but other people around them can. You know, it's just all over the place. Same thing with female ejaculation. There are those women that have coital incontinence. In other words, they produce large volumes of urine when they're sexually stimulated, and then they will squirt lots of clear fluid. Mm-hmm. But guys that are down there sometimes will say, "Listen, it doesn't taste like piss. It doesn't smell like piss." They're right. Because it is ultra filtrated free water and doesn't have any of the normal solutes in it that normal urine does. But some women will ejaculate as well. And so you will have, and it's a, and it overlaps. So there's anywhere between 7 and 50% of women have coital incontinence and about the same numbers for female ejaculation. So you'll have some women that don't do either one, some that do both, and some that do one or the other. And no one can ever agree on what it is because everybody's experience is different. That's why you have to look at the science, and there has been science done on these things. So anyway, very interesting. So we'll put that up. So let's remind everyone, Dr. Scott, you are playing for?
The winner. That'd be Sean.
Sean Pedrick.
That's correct.
And Tacy, you are playing for?
Second place.
Who was?
Carla.
Carla Finch.
I think third place.
And then third place. And then Lydia is playing for Richard Archer. Is that right? Okay. All right. So we will let you know next show.
Okay.
And then we'll send your crap out. All three of you, make sure we've got your contact information. And if you would like to play along with this, check us out on our YouTube channel. I think it's just look, Google Weird Medicine YouTube, and it'll come up, and then watch for us to be live.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Anybody have any medical stories before we go to medical questions? Because we only have a little bit of time.
We do have one question that just popped up about migraine auras.
Okay. Yeah.
We've got a question about a migraine aura coming.
Probably listening to this show.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, if she didn't have one, she probably has one now. her concern is the auras are not coming with a headache.
Yeah.
A typical migraine headache. She's concerned, does she have brain cancer? Does this cause brain damage?
No, it's, there is a percentage of people that have migraines, but they have the aura, but it's not followed by the pain.
The headache, right.
So if you remember, the aura is felt to be caused by spasm of the arteries around the brain. Mm-hmm. And then when they relax too far and they dilate and it stimulates the stretch receptors in those arteries, and the brain doesn't like arteries stretched to the point where they're breaking, and that causes pain. What were you going to say, Lydia?
Well, I was just, does that aura last for a certain amount of time after the orgasm, or is that like a during the orgasm?
Orgasm. Thing?
Yeah,
orgasm.
Just during the orgasm, you have the aura.
We're talking about migraines.
No, migraine.
I thought you said it was an aura during.
We have a winner. You can come
What's
back,
going
Lydia.
On?
Yes, you're welcome to come
I
back.
I swear, yeah, I thought you said it was an aura during.
Is there a reason why you're fixated on that?
I don't know.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
So, anyway. So I don't know if she's having Mars after orgasms or not. I guess we could ask. But let's assume it's associated. Assume it's associated with her headaches.
Yeah, about 4% of people that have migraine have an aura without a headache. And it's usually young adults in their 20s or 30s or older adults between 40 and 60. It happened to me when I was 50-something. Don't be embarrassed. You're hilarious. It's hilarious. Yeah. She's hiding her face. And you're on radio. Yeah, and now sometimes you can lose your headache if you had migraines your whole life, and then all of a sudden you just start having the aura. And it can be called an ocular migraine, but that is kind of a misnomer. It's not even in the classification of headache disorders. So if this is something new, you do want to get it checked out. That's the only thing I will tell you. Two sort of things that distinguish migraine aura is that it should affect both eyes, not just one, and that there's a build up of the aura. And, but sometimes it's hard to tell if the visual disturbance is in one or both eyes. Mm-hmm. So if you want to know, this is what you do. Open a book or something you can look at and start reading, and then cover one eye and look at your book. If you can still see the aura, then you know it's in that eye. Then cover the other eye. If you can still see the aura, you know it's in both eyes.
Okay.
And every person who has an aura should confirm that it's in both eyes, because that puts it in the occipital lobe of the brain rather than in one of the eyes.
Right.
Okay, and that's where you want it to be
right.
for this. And what I always tell people is when you have something like this happen, the first time, absolutely get it checked out. See a neurologist. You know, they'll do the workup and everything. And then after that, if they tell you it's just, quote unquote, just migraine, then you can ignore it or treat it how you normally treat a migraine. If you have the pain and all that stuff, they'll give you medication and different things that you can do. Okay.
I've got one more if you want one more question from the waiting room.
Yeah.
Do we have
yeah,
time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so.
Yeah, Richie was asking, Mr. Second Place is asking, he has a question about starting testosterone replacement. It says his sex drive went back up to when he was first married 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And his question was, congratulations.
Yep.
And his question is, at what age can his wife start hormone replacement therapies? And does it have the same effect? So that's a good question. So
well, that is a good question.
Yeah.
So they've continued to change this in women. And the question is, what do they want to do? What are they trying to accomplish? So if she's having pain or dryness or thinning of the vaginal lining, they may do hormone replacement therapy on her locally, topically. Right. We used to put all women who went through menopause on estrogen, then we found out that we were increasing breast cancer by a small amount. It went, you know, it was 1 in 10,000, but still over hundreds of thousands of women, that's a lot of breast cancer excess cases. So it went from 1 in 11 women have breast cancer to 1 in 11.001, something like that. Lydia, you deal with women with breast cancer all the time. What are you guys talking about, you know, talking to women about hormone therapy?
Well,
particularly estrogen therapy.
Yeah, I mean, certainly if they have the history of breast cancer in general, they should avoid it, especially if they have the history of estrogen-positive breast cancer at any point in their history.
Yeah, they
would just completely
no more estrogen for them.
I do not. I never prescribe it or recommend it, honestly,
right.
because I'm a bit biased. So even for women with different malignancies,
because that's all
I don't
you see,
right.
and that does bias
to me.
Us.
It's the rule. Yeah.
What the GYNs will say is that you can take the pills for the relief of severe hot flashes, but you want to take it only as long as you need it, and then they got to get off of it just as soon as you can. But again, the topical estrogen, which is estrogen cream, is used pretty commonly for dryness, itching, burning, or discomfort with intercourse. Now, we used to prescribe it not for all of those things, but to prevent bone thinning. And because women who lose estrogen start to lose bone mass pretty quickly, and you can be at increased risk of bone fracture. But we don't use estrogen for that anymore. We use drugs called bisphosphonates for that.
And that is always interesting to speak with women who have breast cancer, because if they've had, you know, if they're postmenopausal and have the estrogen positive breast cancer, maybe they're not secreting estrogen from their ovaries, but you still change testosterone into estrogen through a molecule in your fat cells called aromasin. And so we block that routinely with pills. And so from there, we have to put them on bisphosphonates just because their bone mineral density goes straight down.
And those aromatase inhibitors are the can cause, if you know anybody that's on that and they are complaining about all of a sudden now they have arthritis, they can cause joint pain. We call it aromatase inhibitor associated or induced arthralgias. And in those people, that's the number one reason that they stop those things. And it's therefore one of the highest reasons putting women at risk for recurrence of their breast cancer, because they're not taking their aromasin. That's an issue. So if you know anybody like that, that can be treated. There's a protocol for treating it.
So I was just reading, there is a new pill that I keep seeing on Instagram called the little pink pill to increase women's sexual desire.
Okay. Oh, so, well, if that's what he's worried about,
yeah.
which it sounds like it from the thing is he wants to increase his wife's libido. Go
it's
ahead.
It's called Addy. A-D-D-Y-I, flibanserin.
Yeah, flibanserin.
Flibanserin.
That's flibanserin.
Listen.
He's out of his flibanserin.
Crazy.
You can't take somebody out of the swamp. So it's
okay.
A...
Dr. Scott, it's pronounced islet cells, islet cells on this show once.
That's how they pronounce it in China.
And then we called it on him. He said that's how they pronounce it in China. So,
so it's a serotonin 1A receptor agonist and serotonin 2A receptor antagonist for premenopausal women.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got to be premenopausal, though.
The MOK.
It's premenopausal women with hypoactive sexual desire disorder. Now, you know, it was some man came up with that name for this.
Probably like a fat man.
Yeah, big fatso.
I'm joking. I shouldn't have said that.
I know.
I'm not body shaming. I'm just saying.
Well, men, you can body shame the shit out of them. It seems to be totally fine. Yeah. So
we don't really give a shit.
No, I do, but, you know. It's,
hey, I'm old and fat and gray-headed. I'm okay with it.
Whatever. Anyway, but yeah, hypoactive sexual desire disorder. So if that's what the issue is, have her talk to her OBGYN.
Yeah.
There are some people that advocate the use of testosterone in those cases. There are downsides to that as well. All right. Very good. Lydia, tell your story real quick.
Okay, so I was doing a little market research, right, for the show. Asked one of my friends for any gross stories, and friend happens to be a swinger. And so...
As in, to swing?
To swing.
Okay.
Like swinging parties.
Okay. Right, right, right.
Yeah, 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 consensual swinging.
You have 30 seconds.
So, anyway, asked about it. He said, well, I've always avoided, like, chlamydia. However, at one event, about 6 of us got pink eye.
Oh.
Isn't that fun?
Oh, that's awful. And you know, the pink eye could have just been a viral pink eye. It could have been chlamydia, though. You can get chlamydia conjunctivitis.
Yeah, I think it was somebody's kid that had it.
They had a kid there?
I don't know. I get it.
Jesus. Thanks. Always go to Dr. Scott. Thanks, Tacy. Thanks, PA Lydia. And thanks for hanging in here in this hellhole of a studio. Thanks to everyone who's made this show happen over the years and continues to be the most fun I've had in many years of existence. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel. SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. We are being preempted right now for until the whatever sport season is over that's going on right now. Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. And we may be on at Sunday at 10 right now. So good luck finding us. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules, podcasts, and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps. Quit smoking, get off your asses, get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week. The next edition of Weird Medicine. Thanks, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.